probably, if we look at sustainability in real black and white terms, I think highly unsustainable. Very few of the events actually generate a profit. One of the only events in recent history that has made a profit was the Los Angeles Olympics, and that was based on the fact that they didn't spend a lot of money building stuff. They already used the stuff that they had, which was quite smart.
Wow, like what did they already have in place?
Well, they had the big main stadium, and they were using a lot of the infrastructure that was already in LA at the time. It was very much a no-frills Olympics, and it was done by private organisers, and there wasn't a lot of government investment. But since that time, that model really hasn't been used. And a lot of the model, or the main model from now, is just the economic support and the financial investment of governments.
In the effort to generate that revenue that they want to acquire from these events.
Yes.
How much money does it cost to run an Olympic Games?
Yeah, good question. If we go back to Sydney, we're looking at around that $6 to $9 billion mark. If we go to Beijing in 2008, this is speculation, but they were investing anywhere between $40 and $60 billion US. Could have actually been higher than that. I don't think London was anywhere near that amount, but that Beijing figure gives you an idea of what can be spent if you've got the resources. I think this is where the whole sustainability question comes in. Is there really a need for that level of expenditure? You know, that just seems ridiculous to me.
How is Rio going?
In terms of Brazil, again, and Rio, the figures are unclear at this point in time, but I'd be staggered if they're not spending anywhere around the $20 to $30 billion mark. But I don't think there's been a Games that's had more negative publicity than Rio. The Zika virus being a key element, and also issues around water pollution and the impact that pollution will have on certain events like triathlon, sailing, for instance, rowing, canoeing. I think this comes back to the International Olympic Committee. That's the owner of the event. These governing bodies have been giving or awarding through a bidding process these events to cities that really aren't capable of holding them. And South Africa, for instance, in 2010 hosted the Football World Cup. And when we talk about sustainability, that we go and look at 10 brand new venues that were built, a lot of them very rarely used, massive amounts of money spent on those venues, highly unsustainable. But the consequences for the local population and the financial consequences for that country over the next 5 to 10 years will be significant.
Which will include what?
Well, you know, in the investments in a lot of permanent venues. Whilst there is some temporary overlay that is being built, it seems to me as an outsider, a lot of the venues that they're building are permanent structures. A lot of the real sustainability can come out of the Olympic and Paralympic movement is by using a lot more temporary stadiums or temporary components to stadiums that you can put up and pull down. And I think this has been the experience with one of the things that London did really well, so that that overlay could stay for both the Olympics and Paralympics, then it's taken down. A downside to that is, well, what is the memory that is left? So in some ways, you might have this massive stadium that brings back a lot of memories. It may never be used, but it's part of that social memory. So it's a balancing act. What do you want left to remain so people can remember, well, we were part of this?
It's funny because the main thing that I remember back from the Olympics is Kathy Freeman winning her race, and there's so much, I guess, social and nostalgic attachment to that moment in Australian history.
Exactly. I thought it was a really great time in Sydney's history and probably the country's history in terms that there was a very friendly atmosphere. The volunteer community that worked on those games were so engaging with both the local and international visitors. Often in these discussions, we forget about the Paralympics. And again, the Paralympics was a really joyful occasion and a true festival of sport. And the fact that we were able to get so many school kids, particularly primary school kids, to those events, and also a lot of the marketing was done at the senior population, people that were retired at the time, that was also great to watch.
Comparing the Paralympics and the Olympics, how do the sustainability footprints compare?
This is a good question, and I'd probably argue that the fact that the Paralympics is now running in parallel to the Olympics, and this has only been relatively in recent times, I think the fact that now the Olympic Games is almost a 60-day sport festival, which includes the Paralympics, means that you're able to reuse that infrastructure and or use the workforce that was there. So the fact that you're getting sort of double the bang for your buck, I think, makes it a bit more sustainable.
Well, that's like what they're doing with the Aquatic Centre in Sydney Olympic Park.
That's right. Now, the Aquatic Centre, they have, I think it's like 1.5 million people go through it. They struggle to generate a profit, but they've maximised every single bit of space in that. They've got kids learn to swim. They've got the leisure side, the recreational side. They're almost an exemplar in how you try and maximise community benefit from an Olympic venue. It's very multi-purpose. It's not only elite use. There's a lot of community benefit. There's a lot of learn to swim. So,
because I had a couple of birthdays at the Aquatic Centre.
See, there you go. You're an example of a sustainable young man.
Yeah. Thanks, Mum and Dad.
That's right. Exactly.